That we'll be like the disciples. Our hearts will burn within us as the Word becomes alive. Not through our own minds, but by the mind of the Lord in our minds. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. This is our second session together on faith imagination. And for those of you that just received your notebook tonight, on the very front cover, put that title. There's a place that says subjects. Write in the title, Faith Imagination. Now, we said this morning that in the beginning, and I'll make a few review comments, in the beginning, there was no breach or separation between the spirit of man and the mind of man. Man's mind was supernaturally charged with the creative ability of God. You remember how God brought all the animals and He just named them. Boom, boom, boom. What power, what imagination, what thoughtfulness by the Spirit of God. And of course, after man sinned, you see, there was a breach in the Spirit. And instead of just being able to walk in the Spirit, it was like man had to almost pause and think about it. And it got further and further and further away from that original state of dominion and rulership that we were to exercise by the Spirit of God through our minds. But we saw God's plan never changed. You remember that? We saw that in Psalms 8 and then Hebrews chapter 2. And Jesus said in John 17, Father, the glory that I've had with you, I've given unto them. So what does this mean? God's desire for the believer through Jesus Christ is that we be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians 4:23. Not just renew your mind, but let the spirit begin to bubble up. Everybody say bubble up. Everybody say percolate. Sometimes I do what I call percolating in the Holy Ghost. I'll percolate. And that's when the Holy Spirit... Remember that old commercial? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. What kind of coffee is that? Maxwell House. Yeah, see how it gets in you? The world's programming. But dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'll just begin to percolate in the Holy Spirit, and I'll get God ideas, God pictures, and God images. And that's what allows me to exercise the rulership and authority that God wants me to have in this life. Now, tonight, in your notes, put this. We're going to be talking about faith, imagination, and the mind of the Lord. How faith, imagination ties in with what the Bible calls the mind of the Lord. And we're going to look at a number. You're going to have your fingers ready. Get them ready because we are going to fly through Scripture. All right, let's go. Exodus 25, and let's begin to look at verses 8 and 9. Let's begin with Moses. Verse 8 says, And let them make me. This is God talking to Moses. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Verse 9. According to all that I what? Show thee. I want you to see that. God's going to show him something. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. Now that's important. I want you to mark that in your Bible. God's desire is to give you spirit patterns. Spirit concepts, spirit vision, spirit dreams. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about dreams of the night. I believe in dreams of the night. But I believe primarily God wants to inspire our minds with His images and His patterns. And that's what He did with Moses. He says, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So Moses, he didn't just sit down and say, well, you know, I think we're going to make the candelabra like this. He said, no, we've got to build it according to the pattern that God showed me in my mind. Ladies, you know what a pattern is, don't you? If you've ever made clothes, you go to the store, my wife has done this, and you go to the pattern section. I mean, you can spend hours in the pattern section. I've waited on my wife for hours in the pattern section, you know. And some of you husbands, I know you identify. And so, you know, they'll finally get the pattern. And you take the pattern home, and you lay the pattern out. And then you take your little scissors and you cut that pattern out and then you pin it. Sounds like I know how to sew, doesn't it? You pin it onto the cloth, and I've seen my wife. She takes those scissors and she'll cut it according to the pattern. Now, if you don't cut it according to the pattern, honey, you're not going to look like what that thing looked like on the front cover. Well, you may not anyway, but you know. You know, you're not even going to come close. Now, what am I saying? God will give you a pattern. An idea. An image, a dream within your mind, within your heart, within your subconscious. And if you'll build according to that pattern, you'll have the victory and the success that God intended you to have. But if you don't build according to the pattern, you don't get it. So God gave Moses a pattern. Now go to the last verse, verse 40. God says again, "And look that thou make them after their" what? "Pattern, which was shown thee in the mountain." So in other words, there was a time in Moses' life where God showed him the pattern. He was literally making a duplicate of what he had already seen. And God's desire is to inspire your mind with creative patterns and images and dreams and visions, and then you simply walk that thing out. You know, I'm not a golfer. How many of you like golf? Could I see your hand? Okay, three. How many of you could care less about golf? Could I see your hands? All right, we got unity there. But you know, I've seen the golfers on television, and you know, they'll be up on the green. And then they'll get down like this. They'll squat down and they're looking. They're not watching the ants crawl around, folks. They're looking at the ball and they're looking at the cup and they're imagining in their mind a line from the ball to the cup. Sometimes there may be a piece of trash in the way. You'll see them, they'll go up and they'll maybe even move a piece of trash. There may be a curvature in the green, and so they're calculating this in their mind. They're picturing, imaging the ball in going into the cup. And then when they get up there, the golfers tell me that many times will just help their muscular coordination. Why? Because the patterns and the images program you. And so if you'll receive the patterns of the Lord for your business, if you'll receive the patterns of the Lord, yes, for your children, if you'll receive the patterns of the Lord for your ministry, for my ministry, and build according to that, we are guaranteed success. Amen? Amen? See, God didn't create us to frustrate us. He didn't say, "Jason, go preach the Word of God and send me forth simply to trip me and frustrate me every step of the way." God wants us to be successful for Him and be producers for the kingdom of God. All right, now let's go to Numbers 8. And you write these scriptures down in your notes. It's very important that you take notes because you'll simply learn so much more. You'll get your eyes involved, your ears involved, and your hand involved. And you'll learn more. Numbers 8. And let's continue following this same story with Moses. Numbers 8, and we'll look at verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Numbers 8, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps, shall have light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so, and he lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses." Now you mark verse 4. "And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof was beaten work," look at this, "according unto the pattern." According to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so made he the candlestick. Honey, I want to tell you, God wants to get so detailed with you, He'll tell you what the flower on the candlestick is going to look like. Hallelujah. I think, well, any old flower will do. No, you build it according to the flower I showed you. Well, why don't we use a daisy? I mean, that's a pretty flower, Lord. No, use the flower that I showed you on the candlestick. And so they beat it according unto that pattern. Now, architects, men and women who have trained in architectural engineering and so forth, they're highly skilled in what we're talking about. They can take you to a piece of property, and I mean, the thing is a dump, all right? It's a city dump. I mean, there's trash out there, there's old television sets, there's dogs, dead dogs, it's a dump. And they walk out there and they've got a drawing and they say, "Now, I want you to just picture, can you see the high-rise condominium right there?" And you know, you're having a hard time seeing through the flies, you know. And this guy's talking about high-rise condominiums. He says, "Now, right over here will be the Olympic swimming pool. And then right over here will be the..." Are you watching this? "Right over here will be the tennis court. And then right over here will be the entrance. And we're going to have a flags entrance. We're going to have the flags on the entrance. Oh, it's going to be beautiful." And you're sitting there going, "What's that smell down there, you know?" He has trained himself to use his imagination, and because of that, he can see something that is not yet seen. Hello? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Now, as believers, we need to get with it and let the Spirit of God cause us to see things that we cannot yet see. And when we do that, it will begin an immediate process of working its way out. For listen, your images and the pictures in your mind are like little seeds. When they're planted within your mind and they're held there and you hold that image and you hold that desire, it begins a process of germination It begins to root down in you and program you, good or bad, whatever image you're holding, and it'll begin to turn right around and spring up and grow out just like a seed and produce the physical equivalent in your life. That's what images are all about. So he said here, build according to the pattern. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 22, and let's look at David. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we'll look at verses 6 and 7. Be sure you're in 1st. 1 Chronicles 22, and let's look at verses 6 and 7. David here is talking to his son Solomon. And David's saying, you know, Solomon, I wanted to build the temple of the Lord, but he wouldn't allow me to do it, so I'm going to pass it on to you. And he has some interesting things to say about how he ever conceived the idea of the temple of the Lord. Verse 6. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, underline this, it was in my mind. How do you think it got in his mind? Can you guess? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God. Put in his mind. Everybody say in his mind. Now say in my mind. Say it out loud. In my mind. See, God in your mind wants to begin to give you dreams, visions, pictures, images, visualizations, whatever you want to call it. He wants your mind to be a fertile field for the Word and the Spirit of God. So that he can plant an idea in there, and he knows that you're trustworthy enough to hold that idea, and it'll spring up and produce the very thing that God had in his heart. You see, God only has you, and he only has me to work through. I've never yet seen an angel out preaching a crusade. Amen? I've never yet, you know, seen an angel establish a church. It takes men and it takes women. And so God, as far as he can take it, is to plant that spirit idea in you. That's as far as he can take it. And then it's up to you to capture that idea and that image and hold it and image it on the screen of your mind. Give it time to germinate and root down in you and begin to draw, just like a seed would, to draw on the nutrients of the Spirit and the Word that's in you. And let the thing develop, much as a baby would develop, and you just become pregnant with God's idea. Amen? Everybody say, I'm pregnant. Say it out loud. I'm pregnant with God's ideas. That's the truth. You got to carry it for a while. I mean, there's a time of conception, there's a time of development, and then there's a time of delivery where you bring the thing forth. And there's stages for it in what God wants you to accomplish. All right, he says in verse 7, David said to Saul, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. So God had put it in his mind. Now, whip over to chapter 28 and let's pick it up over there. 1 Chronicles 28, and let's begin with verse 9. David's still talking to Solomon. He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, chapter 28, verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now, that's interesting to me that he would even identify those two regions. He says, the heart and the mind. Let the Lord have them. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Boy, David, boy, he knew some stuff here. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now let's really focus on the next few verses. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern. He gave it to him. In other words, he had written the thing down. He gave Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch. Look how specific it is. The pattern of the porch. And the houses thereof, the treasuries thereof, the upper chambers, the inner parlors thereof, the place of the mercy seat, verse 12, and the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. And the pattern of all that he had by the what? Oh, glory, by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. The Spirit wants to give you patterns. The Spirit wants to give you dreams. The Spirit wants to give you images. The Spirit, if you will, wants to give you an architectural plan and say, build according to this. And if you do it, success is guaranteed unto you. I want to tell you, I don't believe it's God's best for His people to bump here for a few years, to bump there for a few years. Well, I'll try this. And, you know, try to find what God wants them to do, trial and error. I believe God wants us to get on the path that He has for us and stay with it and go after it. Amen? In fact, I've got an entire series called Discovering Your Mission in Life, where I go through about 10 steps on how to do it. Because when I first got saved, how many of you ever heard this? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Could I see your hands? Praise God. I'm all for the four spiritual laws. That's won a lot of people to the Lord. But I said, oh, wonderful. God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. How do I find that plan? I could never find any information on that. You go to your Christian bookstore and try to find a book on how to find your mission in life. There's nothing out there. So, man, I just sought God and I said, there's got to be some plans. And there are. But He says, build it. The pattern of all that He had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries of the dedicated things. Now I want you to get the picture. David is in his studio, his psalm studio. And so he's on the harp. Bring! The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, what number are we on anyway? 23! Okay, write it down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost rose up within him. He had a big percolation come up within him. And all of a sudden, he began to see patterns of fortunes, patterns of the treasury house. He said, stop. Where's my pen? Give me my pen. He went over there and he began to draw. He began to make a pattern. Page after page after page, he rolled it up and he put it in his safe for safekeeping. And then the day came. Solomon, come here, son. Yes, Daddy, what do you want? Close the door. Okay, lock the door. Okay, close the windows. Daddy, what's going on? Might be some Philistines around. We don't want them to hear what I'm about to tell you. He says, you got the windows closed? Yes, Daddy. Come over here. Pulls back the picture. Probably a Bathsheba. Opens the safe. Pulls out the long scroll. Wow, Daddy, what's that? Move over. Get the coffee off the table, son. Rolls it out. Wow. Daddy, where'd you get this? Look at this. That's just page one. Wow, look at this. The place of the mercy seat. I've never seen anything like this. This is beautiful, Dad. Where did you get this, Dad? I got it by the Spirit. Everybody say, I got it by the Spirit. Everybody say, I got it by the Spirit. I tell you, when you get it by the Spirit, honey, you've got it. And if you'll build according to it, you'll have success. Amen? Now, I'll tell you, the next two verses, I'll tell you, they just probably, if you get excited and jump up and holler, we'll understand. All right. Go down to verse 19. Chapter 28, verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand, look at this, in writing, by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. David said, there was a time in my life where the Holy Spirit came upon me so mightily that my hand began to write and my hand began to draw the pattern and the images, the pictures, the plans of God. And son, you be strong and build according to this. If you'll build according to this, the glory of the God of Israel shall descend upon this place. Powerful. I'll tell you where most of the church has missed it. And I'm not down on, you know, denominations. God's moving, you know, in some of them in a powerful way. But you know as well as I do, there's some that are dead as a doornail. And why people continue to go there, I have no idea. Why they would give their money into a place that is not winning the lost, that never has an altar call, that doesn't pray for the sick, that doesn't do... I'll never understand that. It's one of the greatest deceptions of all time. But you know why they're not doing it? Because they're not building according to the pattern. When you begin to take pieces out of the pattern of God and throw it away, you're going to lose the glory of God. When you say, well, you know, we don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit anymore. You throw that away, you've just lost part of the glory of God. When you say, well, you know, we don't believe in putting people under pressure, so we're not going to give altar calls ever again. And you throw that out, you've lost something of the glory of God. What am I saying? Whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your business, your home life or your ministry, if you'll build according to the pattern of God's Word and the Spirit that He impresses upon you, you will have the glory and the success of God in your life. Just don't turn there, but just write this down. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. That's my theme passage for my ministry. I remember when I was laying on the beach, Daytona Beach, and we were on a family vacation. and I was seeking God. I was laying in a lounge chair. You believe God speaks to you in lounge chairs? Amen. He does. And I was reading along in Joshua 1, verse 8, and I had read it, but I guess I had never read it. And all of a sudden it was, you know how the Holy Spirit will do this where you're reading along and He'll go, and that word just go, whap, and you go, look at that, look, nobody's ever seen this, look at this, look at this. Joshua 1, verse 8, that hit me. It says, if you'll stay in the Word, I'll paraphrase, if you'll just stay in the Word day and night, if you'll just observe to do what's written right here, He says, then you'll make your way prosperous. And the King James says, then you'll have good success. Guaranteed. Good success. Well, I got to thinking about that. If there's a good success, there's got to be a what? And that's true. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? In other words, it has the appearance, the glitter of success, but behind the scenes, destruction. That's not the kind of success God wants you to have. God wants you to have what He calls good success that begins with your spirit man, then wells up within your mind, influences your mortal body, and yes, it'll influence your finances and your family. But it all begins in the spirit of man, you see, welling up within the mind. So let's go back and look at that. Verse 19, David said, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing. I want you to see that. In writing, by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. You see, it's not enough just to have the pattern. You've got to do it. Amen? Ladies, it's not enough to just go down and say, I've got the pattern for the most gorgeous dress you have ever seen. Well, did you make it? Oh, you ought to see the pattern. Gorgeous. Have you made it? Oh, the picture on the front cover. I mean, that lady looks so nice on the front cover. Have you made it? No. Okay. That doesn't do much good. I wonder how many Oral Roberts were called but never built according to the pattern. I wonder how many pastors were called but never built. I wonder how many evangelists were called but never built. I wonder how many Catherine Kuhlmans were called and highly anointed to heal the sick, but they never built. I wonder how many Andrew Carnegies were called to make money for God, but never built. A story that has impressed me most immensely is from one of my friends, Brother Dan Duke. And he said that he visited a businessman in a high-rise executive suite. I'm talking about marble everywhere, you know, and carpet that you got to kind of go like the jungle through, you know, to get to the guy's office. And he went into the guy's, finally got in there through several secretaries, and the guy just had, you know, oil paintings and collections all around him. And Dan said, what turns you on? In the conversation, he finally got, what do you really get excited about? I mean, is your business your life? And the man said, no, my business is not my life. He said, you want to know what I really get excited about? Dan said, I sure would like to know. Dan said he pulled out a notebook, and he showed Dan this notebook that had newsletter after newsletter after newsletter of evangelists. And he said, I like to just sit in my office and thumb through these, and I ask the Holy Ghost which one I'm supposed to send thousands of dollars to. Isn't that powerful? But how many of those are there? Very few. You know, there's a lot of men and women that they ask God to help them in their business. They ask God to help them make money. But when they got there, they forgot the God that caused them to make the money, and they didn't support the church. They didn't help build the building. They didn't help the evangelist. They didn't help the missionary. All I'm saying is we've got to be faithful to the pattern. Amen? But he said that man just sat up there day after day. And you say, why was Dan there? Dan's a missionary. He was there. God had led him to that man to ask him for a large sum of money. I know a lot of people say don't do that, but if the Holy Ghost tells you to do that, you do it. And he walked out of there with a large-sized check that helped build a church in Africa. That's faith. That's faith that gets up and walks. Amen? All right, now look what he says here. Be strong, verse 20. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even thy God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So here we see Moses had a what? A pattern. David had a what? A pattern. And they built according to it. Now go with me to Daniel 2, and let's look at some other scriptures that are very interesting on what I call faith imagination. Call it what you want, pictures in your mind, but I like that term, faith imagination, using your mind for the faith of God. faith, imagination, and what the Bible calls the mind of the Lord. Daniel chapter 2. And let's begin with verse 27 and go through 29. Very interesting story. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and all call them what they are, witch doctors come in, and they can't interpret it. And so Daniel says, well, you know, I don't have the power, but God, I know the God who does, and He'll show me. But he makes some interesting comments here that I think we need to look at. Chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and thy visions of thy head. I want you to see this. Dreams and visions of the head which you had upon your bed are these. Now look at verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind. You need to underline that. Thy thoughts came into thy mind. Now, the New American Standard marginal reading says this. Thy thoughts came up into thy mind. How do you think it got there? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon this man that did not know him and caused God's mind, follow me now, God's mind to be put into his mind. Now, he didn't have the interpretation of it. That's where Daniel came in. But what I want you to see, we're talking about God's mind coming up into your mind. When we're talking about faith, imagination, talking about having dreams and visions and images of what God wants you to accomplish, we're simply talking about yielding to the mind of the Lord in your mind. You see, there's a mind of the flesh and there's a mind of the spirit. Your brain is the organ, I guess you would say, of thoughts and reasoning processes. But the Spirit has a mind too. And the Spirit wants to come up into your mind and give you the images of God. You know, I used to think the Spirit was kind of like a light in me. Have you ever thought about maybe what the Spirit of God maybe is? You try to picture it, and it's very difficult to picture it. And the Lord showed me this once. I used to think, if the Spirit, my Spirit and the Holy Spirit, which have been joined as one, when you're saved, God's Spirit and your Spirit become one, and your spirit becomes alive unto God, and God's spirit begins to beat in harmony. He wants your spirit to beat in harmony with His. He begins to teach your spirit. But I used to imagine maybe it would be kind of like a little butterfly or something, you know? I say, well, if I was standing here and my spirit came out, it'd just be kind of like a bloop, little light or something. And God said, you've got it all wrong. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you've got spirit in your fingers. Oh, I never thought about that. He said, you've got spirit in your toes. I said, well, I've never thought about that. He said, you've got spirit in your nose. I said, well, I never thought about that. He said, here's what it would be like. He said, if your spirit and the Holy Spirit, which are one now, stepped out of your body, he said it would look just like you. He says the spirit fits in your body just like a hand does inside of a glove. So in other words, there's spirit in my entire body. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what he wants to do is let the spirit mind infuse your fleshly mind so that you are literally renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you follow that? Not just, I used to think, okay, I've got to renew my mind. I'll never think dirty thoughts again. I've got to renew my mind. Okay. Oh, don't think that. I will go to service twice a day. Okay, I'll read my Bible in the morning, 15 minutes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I thought that was renewing my mind. Well, that's part of it, but that's the negative side. God says, I want my spirit, mind, to infuse your mind. Are you following me on this? So that he begins to impress you with his dreams, his ideas, and his visions. But this verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. I just wanted you to see that. God said, okay, I want to give this man a dream. I'm going to take my ideas, my mind, and bring it up into Nebuchadnezzar's mind. That's what we're talking about, faith, imagination. Now go with me to Joel 2, and let's look at a prophecy that has been very well known in the charismatic movement. But many times I think we've limited it in only a certain capacity. Joel 2, and let's look at verse 28. You probably can almost quote this one. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. Now, this is a prophetic utterance of what God's going to do and is doing in our time. He says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. Everybody say, my Spirit.
My Spirit.
Say, God's Spirit.
God's Spirit.
Now, when the Spirit is poured out, it's going to influence you in a particular way. God's Spirit wants to influence you in a particular realm. Somebody says, oh yeah, love, joy, peace. Okay, that's part of it. Somebody says, oh, speaking in tongues. Oh, that's part of it. Somebody says, prophesying, casting out devils. That's part of it. But let's look at what it says here. It says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Prophecy, dreams, and visions. Now, I want you to see that prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, is linked up with dreams and visions. Now, let's turn that around. Your dreams and your visions that you hold dear to your heart have a prophetic tendency to them. If your dream that's dear unto you is some type of, medieval romance novel that, you know, maybe you just read all these novels about, and that's, you know, they've got them now, all these romance novels. They're just junk is all they are, but, you know, the romance novels. You see them, read them in the airports all the time. Where it's got this lady, you know, in this chiffon thing, you know, hugging this guy on the front, you know, and you walk by and go, dear God, deliver me from that. And, you know, they're sitting there reading these romance novels, and it's just input equals output, amen? You begin to get the visions and dreams, and then the lady wonders why her marriage is falling apart. You know, the lady sits home and watches all the soap operas as the stomach turns, you know that one, and Days of Our Wives, and As the Hour Through the Sand Glass, or whatever that thing says, you know? And they sit there and watch that. That's me. Oh, that's me. That's the way he treats me right there. Oh, that's me. And they identify with that hour after hour after hour. And certain images, hello, certain images, certain pictures begin to be built within them. And then they wonder why their marriage doesn't work out. And no secret to me. Whatever you imagine deeply and strongly begins an immediate process of what? Producing the what? I gave it to you this morning. Producing what? The physical equivalent. It's going to work its way out, good or bad. But he says here, when the Spirit comes, you're going to prophesy, you're going to have dreams, and you're going to have visions. Again, I don't believe this is merely limited to nighttime dreams. I don't think it's, you know, necessarily an outward panoramic vision. I believe in this hour of history, God is birthing dreams, desires, goals, plans in the hearts of men and women that will enable the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and do its job and take the nations for Jesus. And I want to be a dreamer with God, don't you?
Amen.
I want to be a dreamer with God. All right, now let's go to a New Testament passage. Before we leave this idea of the mind of the Lord, go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Faith imagery is nothing more than learning to dream with God. It's nothing more than you taking that ability of daydreaming that's really uncontrolled faith imagery. That's really what it is. It's uncontrolled imagery. Where your mind just begins to go through a flow of thoughts and you're out there on the tennis court and then you see yourself. I know how your minds do. The Bible calls it vainglory. Because that's how my mind does. All of a sudden there's a wreck in front of your house. And you men, you see yourself, you rip your shirt off. And in slow motion in your mind, you run to the car. And like the Hulk, you rip the door off of the car. Oh, and lo and behold, there's a beautiful queen in the car. And you rescue the queen from the flaming, burning crash. And it just so happens that all the television stations of Asheville are there getting you on video. Hello, world, look at me. And then you're back in reality. That's what the Bible calls vainglory. Now, what I want you to do is learn how to take that same ability and discipline yourself to begin to picture an image in your mind, the dreams, the visions, the aspirations, the goals that God would have you fulfill. Amen? Because that's the way it'll go. All right, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at verse 16. Very interesting. You might want to circle this, the last verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him. You underline this next statement. But we have the mind of Christ. Let's say that together. But we have the mind of Christ. Say it again. But we have the mind of Christ. Now we have it. Let's use it. See, I had this coat this morning. This is not the coat that I wore this morning. But I had this coat. It was not until tonight that I put this coat on. So we have the mind of Christ, which basically, is it? You need to do what? Hang around and thank Him. Well, we have eaten a wonderful meal, just like the prophecy of our brother said. And we need to just say, Lord, thank you. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Look at this. Underline it. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen? That's why the Holy Spirit's been given to you. He wants you to know what's freely given. And that's where the devil will hit you. He'll say, you don't deserve it. You've committed sin in the past week. You've had bad thoughts. You don't deserve it. You know what you need to do to the devil? You need to turn to the devil and say, yeah, devil, that's true. But I've repented, I confessed it unto God, I've been cleansed of all unrighteousness, and besides that, it's freely given to me of God anyway. And you stand on that. Stand on what the work of Jesus instead of your own works. Amen? It says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I want to share a little story with you now. At graduation day at Oral Roberts University, we were all standing in line. And my wife and I had been married the night before. Don't ever do that. Don't ever get married the night before and graduate the next day. That's rough. But somehow we got up and went to graduate. And so there we were in graduation line in our caps and gowns. And you know how everybody's trying to figure out which side the tassel goes on. You know, I never can remember that because you're supposed to flip it in there a certain way. And we were out there and there was a young girl standing there. And as you do, you're talking with people. And I began to talk with this young girl, and she was graduating as a registered nurse, which is quite a tough curriculum, four years as a registered nurse. And I said, so I see you're graduating as a nurse. I said, that must be exciting. She said, yeah, I'm very excited. It's a great day for me. I said, have you always wanted to be a nurse? She said, well, you know, from a little girl, I've always seen myself as a nurse. I said, well, I guess then your family just helped you and they're probably here today. And kind of a sad look came on her face. She said, no. She says, before I even hit high school, my daddy died. And so my mama had to raise the children. We didn't have a daddy. And she said, by the time I was finishing high school, my mother was bedridden with cancer. And she said, my mother couldn't even work. I said, well, how in the world did you come to school? Because Oral Roberts, you know, it's not cheap. It costs money to come there. And she said, well, you know, and now she had no formal training on what I'm teaching on this seminar that I know of. She said, but I would just lay in my bed at night. And she said, every night I'd go to bed, I would see in my mind. And she said this. I would see in my mind my white uniform. She said, I would see in my mind my white cap. She said, I saw myself walking down the hospital halls with the medication trays. And she said, I just saw this. I just knew that I was going to go to Oral Roberts University and I was going to become a nurse. And she said, you know what's a funny thing? She said, my mama died. She said, but there were some businessmen that knew about my situation and they invested in my school. Now, what am I saying? Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that one. That's wonderful. Give the Lord a hand. Don't patty cake about it. Praise God. That's the kind of thing He wants to do for you. She held that image in her mind. She saw it. And with that image produced the very thing. You see, I can't tell you how God's going to bring you the money to start your business. I can't tell you, do this, do this, do this, and God will meet that provision in your life. But I just know that if you'll follow the Bible principle and hold that image, God has a million ways, a million avenues of getting the goods to you. He'll get them to you. Amen? All right, now, let's begin to look at some... So far, we've just looked at the general idea of faith imagination. I want to begin to home in the next few minutes, on some specific New Testament passages that we can see clearly where this is taught. Now, you'll not find the term faith imagination... But don't let that throw you. I mean, you're not going to find the term the sinner's prayer in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. But sometimes we have to put labels on things that the concepts are there. Are you with me on that? So don't get hung up. I had one guy come and say, "Well, I haven't ever seen the word faith imagination in the Bible." I said, "Well, you know, brother, your spirit's not right anyway. I don't feel like talking about it." That's the best thing to do when somebody's got that kind of spirit. All right, go with me to Romans 10. We want to look at some New Testament scriptures for faith imagination. That's one of the problems a traveling minister has, is people only hear an hour or two of your teaching, and they've already sized you up, you know, they've already categorized you. There's no way that I can teach everything I believe in an hour or two. You see what I'm saying? So you've got to take it and run with the thing that the Lord ministers to you. And if something isn't quite clear, the Bible, I believe, teaches give a person the benefit of the doubt. Amen? Too many times we're quick to pick up stones. All right, Romans 10:10. This is a pattern here that I believe we need to see. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And, everybody say and. "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now I want you to put this in your notes. There's two steps. With the heart man believeth unto, and with confession is made unto. There's two parts there. With the heart man believeth unto healing. With the heart man will believe unto prosperity. With the heart man will believe unto whatever. Righteousness, whatever. But it begins with the heart. And the heart is that realm of your mind. We're going to get into this more tomorrow night, the dynamics of it, how it actually works. But your heart and your spirit are not the same thing. The Bible term many times for the word heart, if you look it up in the original, comes from pneuma, which is spirit. But at other times it'll come from psuche, which is the mind, where we get psychology. So it's not consistent. I believe the heart of man is the mind, where the mind and the spirit mesh together. In other words, the innermost, deepest level of your mind. There's a conscious level, but there's also another level. And for the lack of a better term, I'll say the subconscious level. It's obvious to me that you're not sitting there conscious of everything you've ever learned. But if I said, "What's your phone number?" What is it? See how it just came right up? See, it's in there somewhere. So in that subconscious level and the spirit man where they overlap, I believe that's the heart. And he says, "With the heart man believeth unto, and with the mouth confession is made unto." So it's not just enough to go out like a parakeet and say, "You know, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this." The first thing you need to do is you need to establish that image in your heart. Then, yes, get your mouth in line with it, because your mouth is the launching pad, like a broadcast station, to take that image and broadcast it out into the spirit world. Amen. So put that in your notes. Number one, you got the heart man believeth unto. And number two, with the mouth confession is made unto. And that reminds me of what we read in Psalm 8 this morning. It says, "Out of the mouth," everybody say the mouth, "out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength to still the avenger," to still the enemy. There's power in our mouth when it's coupled up with the power in the heart. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 10, and let's look at some more extensive passages. That's just kind of an overall pattern that has really meant a lot to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul clearly teaches here on using your mind, the images, the thoughts of your mind, as a weapon of our warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh," or in other words, our bodies, "we do not war after the flesh." In other words, you're not going to be able to beat the devil with a stick. I wish I could sometimes, don't you? I wish he would just appear and I could slap the fire out of him. Well, he's got fire already in him. I'd slap the fire right out of him. You're not going to be able to, if you've got a problem in your finances, you can't take a gun and shoot something and kill something that's going to help your finances. If you do, they'll throw you in jail. You've got to fight in a different way. And look what he says. "For the weapons," now we're talking about weapons here, "the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The devil will try to put a stronghold maybe of lack in your life. And sometimes you can go back and look, there's a history. Some people will inherit a stronghold from their father, their mother, their family situation. It'll be a pattern you'll see running through an entire family line. Some people that are subject to depressions, they picked it up as a child from their mother who is always depressed. Some man who's an alcoholic, he'll go back and the pattern will be his daddy was an alcoholic. There's a stronghold there. How do you deal with it? Look what he says here. You got to cast it down. How? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Or one version says reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at this. Underline it. And bringing, here's what we're talking about. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what I'm teaching on. Faith, imagination. Bringing your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Bring them captive. That takes effort. That takes effort. But bring them captive. Bring them captive. Tell you, whenever I go on an overseas trip, it is total faith. Because, and Alan will tell you this, when you go overseas, you don't get an offering. Or if you do, and you convert it to U.S. money, it may be $10. Let me just give you an example. In Brazil, not this year, but last year when I was there, we were in a church of about 1,000 people. And they received an offering, which is very unusual, because when they know you're an American citizen, they just think you got money, I guess, running out your ears. You know, all I've got is credit cards running out my wallet, you know. I've got to have money to back that up. But they took an offering for us. And I mean, they gave us a little plastic bag that was just filled with what I call that funny money. I mean, it was just stuffed with it. And I just thought, glory to God. I said, that is wonderful. You know, like I can pay my credit cards when I get home. I thought, hallelujah. And we went back to the room and we dumped it out on the bed and it was just all over the bed. And I just thought, man, this is wonderful. And he called it out there, 100. I would put it on my calculator. I said, wonderful. Look at that, 50,000. And he says, yeah, but you've got to convert it. He said, divide it by whatever it was. I divided it, it was $10. I said, this is true now. I'm not just, you know, I said, glory to God. But I tell you, there's a battle right up here every time I go overseas. Because just to get over there, I mean, the plane tickets, you don't just walk up and say, I'm a minister of the gospel and I'd like to go to Africa. I'll say, well, that's great. You got some money? And every time in my mind, never fails. You never get beyond this until we get our glorified bodies. The devil puts his arm around me and says, you're not going to go to Zimbabwe, Africa. You don't have $2,500 per ticket. Did you get that, Jason? Per ticket. Why don't you just stay here and minister in the States? They need you here. I have people calling me up. Now, I know the devil must have given them my number. They'll call me up and they'll say, this is true. They'll call me up and say, Jason, I saw in your newsletter you're going to Africa. Oh, yes, brother, we're excited about it. So you're... Yeah, I'm going. What do you want to go over there for? I've had people call me. What do you want to go over there for? We need you here. Those are just heathens. I've had people say that. That's why they say them down south. Heathen. Heathens. I said, brother, God's told us to go over there. We're going. But I tell you, there's thoughts in your mind. And there's an effort to cast down that picture of lack or poverty image, I guess you would say, and in its place see, and I do this, I see myself with a ticket in my hand. I see myself with a ticket that doesn't say American Express number, da, 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 da. I see a ticket that says paid in full. And I hold that image in my mind. And the more I do that, I want to tell you, the more victory I see. You can use this in your jobs. You can use this for your careers. You can get a job with this. Amen? I was teaching a seminar in Atlanta, and like I said, I seem to always, you know, weave this in there somehow because it's so just an anointing that I have on this area. And I had a guy come up, and he said, I don't have a job. He said, would you pray for me? I said, well, yeah, I'll pray for you, but I said, I want you to couple up with that prayer every night laying in bed and seeing the desire of your heart. I said, what kind of job do you want? He said, it don't matter. He said, I just need a job. I said, no, I don't want it don't matter job. I said, if you want it don't matter job, you're going to get it don't matter job. I said, how much do you want to make? What do you need for your family? What kind of job would you like? His eyes kind of lit up and he said, well, you really want to know? I said, yeah. And he began to tell me a certain type of line of work he wanted to be in. He said, yeah, I'd really like that.
But then the twinkle kind of went out when he got back to reality and said, but you know, I really need a job. I said, let's pray. And I prayed for him. And I said, now I want you to begin to hold in your mind every night and every day. See yourself on that job. See yourself doing that thing. He came back a few weeks later to a service and he said, I got the job. I got it. Why? I'm telling you, it's powerful. Bringing your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Because when you do that, that gives God permission to work for you. Hello?
Amen.
You mean God needs my permission? He does. One time I asked God, I know you don't ever ask silly questions like this. Y'all are all probably, you know, just about down to the finish line. But I'm way back here and I said one time to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know what I need. I mean, why do I even need to pray? I said, Lord, it really seems silly for me to even pray when, you know, you already know what I need and you're the great God who can do it all anyway. I said, I just saved myself all effort. Why do I have to pray? He says, I'll tell you why you have to pray. He says, yes, I know what you need. He said, but when you pray, he said, that's like sending out a radio beacon, just like an airplane will follow a radio signal in to the end of that runway. He said, when you pray, that gives me permission from my power to home in on that very thing. He said, if I didn't have your permission of prayers and your affirmation and statement of the desires of your heart, he said, I would be violating your life and your will to come in and put that on you. That's powerful right there. That cleared it up. Right quick for me. And now every day I send out signals, honey. I send out those. I say, ride on in, angels. Bring the goods on in, praise God. Just like, you know, flying tigers, flying angels, amen. That was a good movie, Flying Tigers. All right. Oh, all right. Now let's look at verse 5 again. Cast down. Everybody say, cast down. There's a negative side, there's a positive side. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now let's stop right there. What's the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is, I don't want you to be sick, I want you to be healthy. That's the knowledge of God. You can find that in the Word. The knowledge of God is, I don't want you to be without, I want you to have more than enough for every good work. You know, it's so selfish for people to say, oh, I just wouldn't want anything but my own needs met. That's so selfish. Just you, huh? Somebody say, oh, I'm just believing for my needs to be met. I couldn't ask God for any more. You better. Because if you don't, you don't have anything to give and help somebody else. So cast down those images, those thoughts, those reasonings that are contrary to what God's Word says. Tear those things down, and some of them are built from your past. Tear them down, and in their place, bring your thought captive and establish a new stronghold for God. Amen? Establish a new castle, as it were, for God's power to be the headquarters out of and go out and bless your life. It says there, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go to chapter 4. Just take a left. Go to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And we've only got a couple more verses here. 2 Corinthians 4. And I want you to look at, well, let's start with verse 16. You know, the Apostle Paul, good gracious, he went, you know what his ministry credentials were? Kind of, yeah, it's okay. I'm not knocking it, you know, but people will say, I'd like to introduce Dr. So-and-so. He's got a degree in this, and he's got a degree in that, and he's written this book, and he's written that many books, and he's produced 10 billion tapes, and so forth. And this is his credentials. You know what Paul's credentials were? Shipwreck. Stone. Beat 39 times on my back. He couldn't have been pretty. Isn't that right? Unless God did cosmetic miracle and he could have done that. Beat, stone, shipwrecked. He says naked. Maybe he wore a plastic bag. Very serious. I'm not saying you have to do that to be spiritual, but I'm saying those were his credentials. He said, okay, if I've got to brag, let me brag about these things. But you know what he said the key was? How did he make it? Have you ever wondered that? How did the Apostle Paul make it through that kind of stuff? Here's the key right here. Verse 16 and 17 and 18. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, talking about his body, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, everybody say light affliction. I mean, he's calling stoned and being beat light affliction. Next time you have something little go wrong, that's not even light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It can either work for you or against you. How can you make it work for you? Works for us a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. Here's the key. Circle verse 18. While we look not at things which are seen. He's talking about faith, imagination right here. He says, I don't look at what's seen. But it's implied here. But we look at, we imagine, we visualize, we see the things which are not seen. Not seen. Everybody say, not seen. Everybody say, I must see. You can do better than that. I must see. What cannot be seen. He says, we look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Macedonia. Vision of God. Come over and help us. Let's go, men. All of a sudden, you're in the jail. Chained. Remember that story? Paul and Silas. I can almost hear Silas now. This is it, Paul. Big vision. Come over here. Look where we are now, in jail. Next time you have a vision, we're going to check it out with the elders. Big time vision, Paul. Razzle dazzle, shaking that chain. My mama told me not to join up with your evangelistic association anyway. You don't pay enough. It's about 5 till 12 midnight about now. Have you ever been chained to somebody who's praising God when you don't feel like it? Husbands and wives, you know what I'm talking about. No doubt Paul goes, oh, we worship you, Lord, and bless you, Jehovah God of Israel, Jesus. Lebo Sobo. Now you're chained to the guy, right? Both hands go up. Lobo Samba. Silas hand. Hallelujah. Bo Samba. Paul begins to visualize in his mind. He says, man, I can see myself getting delivered from here. He said, maybe that guy was the one in my dream, the jailer. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Well, you know how you try to work into it when you don't feel like it? Kind of turn the other way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shabba-dabba-doo. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Before long, they're both praising God, it says. Loud praises. And they had the first jailhouse rock hit that place. It says the chains popped off. And you know the story? Why? He could have let it work against him. But he said, no, I'm going to see in my mind victory. He said, I'm going to cast down that thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What was the knowledge of God in that situation? His vision. Come over to Macedonia and God will do a great thing. Gets over there, not much happens. Begins to see in his mind and boom, the power of God hits. I believe one of the greatest keys of the Apostle Paul was his ability to see what was not seen. One final verse and we'll be through. Go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll conclude with these two verses. Are you getting something out of this? You see, faith, imagination will turn your ministry around. It'll build big churches. It'll draw large crowds to a crusade. It'll build a business. It'll build a happy, blessed home instead of a home that's full of strife and turmoil. And I want to tell you, God will begin tonight with your life. Some of you are thinking, oh, if I could have just known this. If I could have just gone back in my life. Well, you can't do that. Just start now. Amen? Just start now building the images that God wants you to have. Chapter 3, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, and if you're a believer, you are, seek those things which are what? Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or a better translation would be your mind, your thoughts. One version even goes as far as say your emotions. I mean, hold that image with feeling and faith. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What's on the earth? Sickness, tragedy, poverty. I tell you, you see some things going overseas, you just think, dear God, why don't you just wind the whole thing up? You know why he didn't just wind the whole thing up and Jesus just come back? Because if he did, nobody else could be saved. And there's more people alive right now on this planet than all other generations added together and combined. Did you realize that? 15 years from now, in the year 2000, when you write the year 2000 on your check, the population will have jumped from 4.5 billion to 7 billion in our lifetime. We'll see it in 15 years. God says there's a big harvest But he says, set your mind on things above. What's above? God's kind of life. Provision. Healing. Joy. Righteousness. Peace. Prosperity. Success. Get your mind set on that. Why? Because you'll have it. You see, your life is hid with God, but don't let it stay hid. Go find it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to begin to talk about the inner workings of faith imagery. I hope we can find a chalkboard or something. I'm going to draw diagrams, show the different levels of your inner personality. We're going to show how an image goes all the way through that process to produce the thing. So don't miss it. Amen. Let's stand up.